Over the last several months, we were talking to you about iChoose and, you know, the iPhone and different things, the iMac. And so we're talking about iChoose. And we've been saying, and we believe that God has given us the free will to choose. Amen? I mean, we have a choice. Now, some people get all tore to pieces about that, and they think, well, God is not God if we choose to be saved. Well, God's the one who set it up that way. Amen. And he chose to do it that way because he wanted a people that would choose him. Amen. And if he makes us do it, which he can, and he certainly is sovereign. I like what one preacher said, that who are the elect? And the answer came back, the elect are the whosoever wills. Amen. So don't get all tangled up in those things, but understand we have a free will to choose. Say that with me, a free will to choose. But here's the key. Once you've made your choice, then your choice makes you. So be real careful on what you choose. I mean, freedom can be a blast, or it could be a blasting, or it could be a blessing. It is your choice. And so we've been talking about choosing. In fact, go to Joshua 24 and verse 15. And we are the sum total of our choices. Where we are tonight is because of what we chose years ago and days ago and weeks ago. And Joshua 24 and verse 15, and if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are. Read that last line for me. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We choose. I choose. And so we've talked about making the right choices. When things don't go right, make the right choices when things don't go right. When the doctor tells you something, make a choice that you're going to believe the great physician. When things happen that you don't understand, make a choice to live by faith and not by sight. We talked about I choose purpose. We talked about I choose prayer. Amen. Choose prayer. We've talked about I choose no excuses. I choose great expectation. I choose my friends. I choose fasting. I choose Pentecost. I choose love. And that's just a sampling of it, because we went through many weeks and many months. And so tonight will be a great conclusion, the timing of it. And I want to talk to you tonight about I choose. Since I'm making the right choices, this will happen. But I choose to spring forward. Amen? Would you stand with me tonight and go to the book of Isaiah, the prophet, Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 19. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 19. And if you want to sing in the cantata, if you'll be here at 4:45, I've got it in the time for 4:30. That's when I'm going to be here. But I want everybody else here at 4:45 to help us have a choir for Easter. And you do not have to carry a tune in a bucket. If you just bring a bucket, we'll just let you sing. Amen. It doesn't matter. There's no auditions. And we just want some joyful noisers. Okay. So just come on Sunday night. We're going to have a wonderful cantata. Some of the songs that we're going to be doing, I believe they're going to be a blessing to you. And so Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 19. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now, somebody say now. It shall what? Shall you not know it? I will make a way. Oh, yes, he will. In the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Thank you tonight, God. Help us to choose correctly and choose prayerfully and choose purposely. Help us, Father, to choose to serve the Lord to our dying day and to our flying day, till we fly to glory. Oh, God, help us to make those choices, pray about those choices, fast about those choices. And, Lord, those choices will make us into what you want us to be. And I pray that you'd bless the reading of your word. May I decrease, may you increase, and we'll give you the praise for it tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. And turn around and say, I choose to bless you tonight. The Bible says, bless and curse not. Amen. I choose to bless you. Amen. 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 So this upcoming weekend is the beginning of daylight savings time. And we're all supposed to move our clocks up 1 hour in order to save more daylight. Now, I love this time of the year. I like the extended days. And sometimes we get it mixed up. And should we move the clock up? Should we move the clock back? And so somebody came up with this idea. In the fall, you fall back. But in the spring, you... And there's just something about that that I feel like prophetically, purposely, and pertinently that I think is speaking to us at this time. Because I believe that it's time for us individually. It is time for us collectively. It is time for us in our devotions. It's time for us in our ministry. It's time for us in our destiny, I believe, to spring forward. Somebody say, I choose to spring forward. I don't know about you, but I'm about tired of being sick and tired. I'm about tired of being broke, busted, and disgusted. I'm about tired of going through the motions, the same old, same old. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to spring forward. Anybody here tonight want to spring forward into all that God wants you to do? If you are, would you give him a hand of praise here tonight? I said, I choose to spring forward. Now, Isaiah chapter 43 and 19 says, we know that God never changes. But though he never changes, he is always fresh. He is doing something new. He is up to something. He hasn't quit being creative. He is still the creator. There are worlds yet to be created. There are opportunities yet to be seen. There are miracles in the making, one just for you. The Father has given to you even now. Your prayer has been heard and the answer is on its way. I said there's a miracle in the making for you today. God said, I'm doing a new thing, and shall you not know it? And even now, not next decade, not 30 years from now. Yeah, he'll do something then too. But how many of you need something today? How many of you need something in 2019? How many of you need something in this service tonight? I believe it's time for us to spring forward. Why don't we spring forward in our praise and in our worship to God Almighty in anticipation for what he's going to do? It's time to spring forward. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, I want to give you three C's tonight. Three C's. You know, vitamin C is a good thing. Amen? And I preach a sermon entitled Living Above Sea Level. Not S-E-A, but S-E-E. But I want to give you three C's tonight that I believe will help us to spring forward. Now, the first C, point number one, is crying out to God. So how do you spring forward? Well, you cry out to the Lord. Now, what do you mean by that? I want to illustrate it by going to Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 25. And I want to read a couple of very, very strange scriptures. And these are scriptures you don't normally read in a church setting. I've never heard anybody preach on them. And they have to deal with something very traumatic. But I believe there's something in here that will help us to spring forward. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 25 through 27. But if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man force her and lie with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die. Verse 26, but unto the damsel thou shalt do nothing. There is in the damsel no sin worthy of death. For as when a man riseth against his neighbor and slayeth him, even so is this matter. For he found her in the field, and the betrothed damsel cried, and there was none to save her. In other words, if a woman is violated or raped, she shouldn't be penalized. You know, in that world, we don't realize history. We don't realize the world that we live in, how good we've got it. Back in those days, there were a woman's testimony could not be held in a court of law. Women were not considered true citizens. And so if a man forced himself on a woman, he could basically get by with it. But God don't let people get by with sin. He knows when people are violated. Those women are his daughters. And it says here that she will not be penalized. She will have her rights. And here's why. Because while the thing was going on, she cried out for help, but nobody came to rescue her. In other words, she was being violated. And she was crying out. She was perhaps saying, somebody help me, or I don't want this, or no. This is the Me Too movement, long before it ever sprang for political purpose. She was probably saying, don't do this. She was probably like Ammon's sister, who said, do not force me to do this. But because her cries were not heard, yet the fact that she cried out, she is not going to be penalized. Now look, go to Deuteronomy 22, verses 23 through 24, the preceding verses, and notice the contrast. If you're still there, say amen tonight. If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto a husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then you shall bring them both into the gate of that city, and you shall stone them with stones that they die. And the damsel, because what? She cried not, being in the city. And the man, because he has humbled his neighbor's wife. And thou shalt put away evil from among you. And by the way, that's another great scripture of grace. Because in those days, when a man found a woman that committed adultery, they would often kill the woman and leave the man alive. But God said, no, we're going to even the playing field. It takes two to tango. If they both were guilty, they both are going to die. And we know that means physically back then, but we do know that adultery brings death in very, very real ways now, spiritual death. So don't look at this scripture and think how harsh it is. Look at this scripture and see the hope of grace. And by the way, when people pay penalties for sin, people will get scared and not do it. Because there's nothing that will ruin a life and a family and a nation than these things. But the fact that she didn't cry out, the fact that she didn't scream or yell, implies that maybe she liked it. Maybe she wanted it. Maybe she was not opposed to it. And I think there's something very significant in these two passages, strange passages. Because to be quite honest with you, the devil is trying to violate all of us. And we shouldn't just sit there and not cry out and not say something and not get passionate and not say no. I don't know about you, but when it comes to the fact that the devil, he's trying to violate my family, he's trying to violate my ministry, he's trying to violate my church, he's trying to violate my country, and I'm going to cry out. I'm not going to accept it from the bottom of my heart. It is time to spring forward. And how do we spring forward? Lord, we cry out unto God when we see things not right in our life, right in our family, right in our nation. It's time to cry out to God. Would you give him a hand of praise here tonight? We gotta be like Popeye. You remember the cartoon Popeye and Olive Oil and Pluto and all the characters there, and I'll tell you, and Brutus and all those guys, and every now and then old Popeye would get all into a flux and things wouldn't go right, and he'd roll up his sleeves and he'd pop out a can of spinach, and he'd say, I just can't stand it anymore. And I'll be so glad when some of you will look at the devil and look at those cigarettes and look at somebody trying to flirt with you and keep you out of church and say, I just can't stand it anymore. I'm not going to be violated. I'm a child of the living God. You will not violate me. And I sit there. You know, there's a scripture, not a scripture, but the law, the Roman law of which we're built upon, the jurisprudence. It basically says this: silence yields consent. So if you sit there and you don't say anything and don't cry out and don't object, then that means you must be fine. I'm not fine with sin. I'm not fine with the devil doing what? I'm not fine with temptation. I'm crying out. I'm springing forward. I believe God's got a plan for me, and he's going to do some amazing things. But it won't ever happen if I continue to let the devil knock me down and violate me. I'm crying out for my healing. I'm crying out for prosperity. I'm crying out for church growth. I'm crying out to God for a revival like the which we've never seen. I'm crying out because it's time to spring forward. Can you say amen? Look at what happened to blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52. Oh, I cry out to God for my family to be saved. I cry out to God for President Donald Trump. Amen. I cry out to God. I don't care what political party is in power. I know who is the greatest power. Amen. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52. And when they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. That's not where God wants you to be. Just on some roadside, just begging. He wants you to be a productive citizen. He wants you to not just be getting, getting, getting. My name is Jimmy, Jimmy, Jimmy. What you gonna give me, give me, give me? The welfare handout. Oh, woe is me, and always needing a bailout. That might be fine for a season. We all go through the valleys. Amen. There's a lot of times we'll have more month than money. Amen. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about when the tires have got to be changed and the babies get sick and everything comes at one time and you just need a little cash to get you through. I'm talking about overall in your life. God doesn't want you sitting by the highway side just thumbing and begging and kind of floating along. He's got a plan. I said he's got a plan for your life. What is that plan? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have. That's not a prosperity preacher at 2 o'clock in the morning on TBN. That's the word of God. Hallelujah. He come for us to have life and have it more abundantly. And I choose that life, and I choose his favor, and I choose his blessing, and I'm going to cry out until I get it. Because God has it for us. Amen. Blind Bartimaeus, when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth, he began to what? Cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Go to verse 48 of Mark 10. And many said that he should hold his peace. But he cried out a great deal. Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And I love this. One of the first sermons I ever heard at the Falcon Camp meeting was by Clifton Buckram, a black preacher. And I can hear him. And Jesus stood still. I remember that. Just when I was 16 years. And Jesus stood still. Man, that still preaches, don't it? And somebody said that. And Jesus stood still. Brother, when you cry out to God, the Almighty is listening. Amen. Cry out to him for your children. Cry out to him for your nation. Cry out to him when you fail in sin. Cry out to him when you're hurting. Cry out to him when you've been hurt and rejected. Cry out to him when you don't know what to do. He is my God Almighty. And the scripture says that Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man saying, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Ask your neighbor, what do you want God to do in your life? Ask your neighbor, what do you want God to do in your life? I want to spring forward. I said, I want to go heights I've never been. I want to plunge depths I've never been. I want to be more holy, more godly. I want to be a man of God. I want to be anointed of the Holy Spirit. I want to be blessed and highly favored of God. And the blind man said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go your way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. He received his sight when he cried out to God. So if you want to spring forward, you got to cry out to God. Go to Mark chapter 5 verse 35, and then we'll go to the second C, the second vitamin C. Mark chapter 5 verse 35, if you're there, say amen. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why trouble the master any further? Quit bothering him. Your daughter's dead. It's hopeless. No need to invite my children here on Easter. They're not going to come. Why bother the master? I'm here to tell you, if you talk like that, you'll never spring forward. And the devil will just laugh all the way when we're not. And in other words, remember the second scripture I read? If you don't cry out, it must mean you're in agreement with it. Come on now, this is hard preaching. Come on. And the only thing that happens then is death. And here's this man, he's come to Jesus, And by the time he gets to Jesus, somebody comes and says, your daughter has died. No need to trouble the master. Let me tell you something. I'm going to trouble the master. As long as people are lost, as long as hell is enlarging itself, as long as my family is not saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, join the church, tithing fully and not giving a little tip, until my family is in there speaking in tongues, shouting the aisles, I'm going to trouble the master. Hallelujah. As long as Satan is still trying to violate, steal, kill, and destroy, I'm going to trouble the master. I'm going to cry out to God until I see the answer come. I'm going to pray. I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to trouble the master for revival, for renewal, and for healing. Can you say amen? And by the way, do you ever really trouble him? He can't be troubled. He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleep. And you can't really trouble him. It's a small thing to him. Amen. He can handle it. What's a mountain to us is just a speck of dust to God. You go ahead and cry out to God. It's time to spring forward. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. I'm going to cry out and trouble the master. That's point one, letter C. Crying out to God. Getting a hold of the Lord. And then number two, letter C, is claiming what is yours. Claiming what is yours. Go to 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 1 through 4. And I read this scripture and read it, and something in this passage just kind of jumped out at me, and I pray to jump out to you tonight. 1 Kings chapter 22. I choose to claim what is mine. Are you there? 1 Kings 22. We there, brother? All right. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye, watch this, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours? And we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, and my people as thou art, and my horses as thy horses. Don't you know that Ramoth Gilead is ours? Don't you know that our forefathers died for it? Don't you know that God promised it to us? And we're sitting here, and we're not doing anything. I like what he said, and we be still. Boy, that sounds like a lot of 11 o'clock church services, doesn't it? Amen. It starts 11 o'clock sharp and ends 12 o'clock dull. Amen. I'm just telling you, we be still. We're inactive, and we're not disturbed, and we're okay. Well, we're not crying out, and we're not claiming what is ours. And he got one of his brothers and said, can we get another king? And we're all kings and priests unto God, and we can come together, and your people are my people. Pastor Jerry, when our people get together, and I believe they are, I feel the unity. I feel the, you know I know there's unity in the church. When I talk to some of these other preachers, and I talk to some of these other churches, and they're divided, and voting preachers out, and people are split, and this one's leaving, and that. Oh, praise God for unity. That's why we can have the services that we're having. And let's not disturb the peace and unity. Let's come together. Now, it doesn't mean unanimity, because that means everybody agrees on everything. And I want to tell you what, if you're married, you won't agree on everything. But we do have unity. Amen. And let's get unified. And let's have a prayer partner. And let's talk to other kings. And let's go to Ramoth Gilead and claim what is ours. I'm tired of the devil having our family and having our nation. I want you to know that healing is ours. Salvation of our loved one is ours. Answered prayer is ours. Did you know that the problem about prayer is not unanswered prayer? People talking about, well, I prayed and God didn't answer my prayer. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That I'm hearing less and less of that. Because I'm going to be honest with you. You keep praying like you say you're praying, and brother, God's going to do something. Amen? He'll either calm the storm or he'll calm the child in the storm. Amen. Really, the problem is not unanswered prayer. The greatest problem today is unoffered prayer. We need to claim what is ours? Miracles. He is the God of miracles. We need to claim church growth. Amen. What do you mean? Every seat filled. 2 and 3 times a Sunday. parking lot full, people flooding the altar, new converts, new people, not church transfers because somebody got mad and they want to come over here and run things. So they ain't going to come here and run things. Amen. The Holy Ghost is going to run things. Amen. We're going to run him back out and send you back where you started from. Amen. I thank you for that one amen. Don't bring your problems over here. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't mess it up. And I tell you, I see it a lot of times. Listen, we need to claim grace and mercy. We need to claim revival. Wilt thou not revive us again? We need to claim that our giants are going to fall. You remember the story of Goliath? Everybody was so afraid of that giant. But one little kid by the name of David said, "Let me at him." Why? Because he wasn't going to be still. That's why we cannot be still. This is our finest hour. These battles are made to help us make much of God. God delights in giving us victory through the battle and after the battle. And David said, you know, the giant wasn't just going to disappear. Somebody had to engage that. Somebody had to get active. Somebody had to claim what is this is ours. Who is that uncircumcised heathen? I belong to God. And they put on Saul's armor and it didn't fit. And David said, I can't do this. Just give me about five rocks and I'll take him on. Man, that's a lot of bravery, isn't it? Amen. And old Goliath comes out there and he's just laughing. He's just thinking, man, are you really going to send somebody like this after me? And then all of a sudden, boom. What did David Jeremiah say? It was clunk. Plunk and then funk. Amen. We need to claim that the giants are coming. Are you facing any giants tonight? Aren't we all? Aren't we all? We need to claim that our mountains will move. Somebody say mountains will move. The Bible says that if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, "Be thou removed and cast into the sea." Now, what is a mountain? Well, I haven't been to the mountains a lot. I don't like heights. I don't like to fly. In fact, this stage is about as high as I want to go. Amen. I'm more of the coast. I'm more of the coastal plain. I'm more of sitting by the beach and reading a book. And I think the mountains are beautiful. And to me, so I'm not used to mountains, so I could see a little bit bigger hill, and I think, whoa, that's big. You know, it's just a little hill. You know, I'm like, oh, look at that. But now I'm talking about mountains. Now there's the Rocky Mountains. Now we're used to the Appalachian Mountains, and Mount McKinley is our highest mountain here in North Carolina. How many of you have seen Mount McKinley? Anybody seen Mount McKinley? I mean, you could be on the Biltmore House, on the back porch of the Biltmore House in Asheville, and you can see the peak of Mount McKinley, and that's about as close to it as I've been. But did you know you knew this? I know you know this, but you do know that the Appalachian Mountains are nothing compared to the Rocky Mountains. And did you know that the Rocky Mountains are nothing compared to the Himalayan Mountains in far Asia? And Mount Everest at 20, when you see a plane going up at 30,000 feet in the air, that is how high the mountain is, the tallest mountain in the world. It's 29,000 feet, almost a mile up in the air. Brother, if you are looking at Mount Everest facing you head on, God said if you can speak to that mountain and you can say, "Be moved and cast into the sea," I don't care how big your problem is, my God can make a way where there is simply no way. Can you give him a hand of praise for that tonight? But you got to claim it. I said you've got to claim it. You've got to claim what's yours. It is yours by right. Pastor preached one of the best messages that since I've been here on the believer's bill of rights. You have a right to X, Y, Z, and he went on down. And I downloaded. I believe I've got that CD on my desk. So I just remind the Lord and I remind the devil. I've got a bill of rights. I'm going to claim them. Amen. I'm going to live them. I'm going to preach them. And I'm going to prophesy them. I'm going to say, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Put your hope in God." Amen. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. I want to tell you, our pastor preaches wonderful, and Althea Meyer and Paul Jackson, these guys preach. But I'm going to tell you, the greatest preacher in your life is yourself. You got to preach to your, I said, you got to preach to yourself. You've got to say, I'm claiming what is mine. I'm crying out unto the Lord. I choose, hallelujah, to spring forward. Somebody say amen tonight. A man went to heaven, and he was shown a sight that truly made him sad in heaven. What? Sad in heaven? The story goes that an angel began to show him all the riches and blessings of heaven. He showed this man the streets of gold, the gates of pearl, the mansion that was awaiting him. But there was a place that the angel passed by and did not show the man. Curious, the man wanted to know, what is this place that you're passing by? Why is it shut up? Why can't I see it? The angel said, you do not want to know, for it will make you sad. That made him even more curious. The man insisted, I want to know. And so reluctantly, the angel opened the door. And to the man's amazement, there were things that belonged to him. Peace, answers to prayer. He saw his life so much more useful and so many more blessings. He saw heap after heap after heap of things that God had prepared for him. And victory and power, and they were laying there, and he said to the angel, these were mine. Yes, they were yours. I never saw them in earth. I'm just seeing them now. And the angel said, because you never claimed them while you were on the earth. These are the things you could have had. These are the blessings that were awaiting you. These were the promises that you failed to claim. Oh my God, I don't want to get to heaven and have one promise with dust on it. I want to claim all that he has for me. All of his favor, all of his blessing, all of his anointing, all of the Holy Ghost. I don't want just a little dab, do you? Some people got enough religion to make them, what is it when they put embalmed? That's it. Just enough religion to make them a bomb. I don't have religion. I have Jesus. And I want all that. I'm going to claim what is mine. Anybody else going to do that tonight? Well, give him a hand of praise. Claim. We're not going to be still. And the third C. So number one, say cry out to God. By the way, I like to pray when I can get loud. But you know, God hears your whispers. Amen? You know, during the day, I'll whisper prayers to the Lord. God hears those. You don't have to spend 5 hours in prayer just to get prayer through. But there are times you're going to want to spend some time in the Lord. Amen? Amen. The second C is claiming what is ours. And then finally, I want to challenge you with I choose. And that is, I want you to choose to be a soul winner. Oh, who, me? Well, that's Billy Graham and Paul Jackson and Pastor Ricky and Pastor Jim. No. The third C is the Great Commission. Somebody say commission. Yes. So I told Brother Elam, he had to step out for a minute. He'll like this. But I said, Brother Elam, you are to be at the cantata practice this Sunday at 4:45. That is a direct order. He's a Marine, you know. And he said, I stopped taking orders 35 years ago. All righty. He missed that one. But let's look at Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. The third C is the commission, the Great Commission. Say the Great Commission. That's one of our articles of faith, is the Great Commission. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, read it out loud. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Somebody say every creature. And if you knew some of the people I work with, you know why he say every creature. Amen. If you knew what some of my cousins look like tonight, you'd say every creature. Amen. I love them though. And not one self-righteous bone in my body. But the Great Commission. Say it. The Great. Somebody say the word commission. Now what is that? What does commission mean? I mean, commission means an order. It means you've been empowered. If I commission you to go out and buy something on my credit card, I've empowered you to enter my PIN number. I've given you authority. This is not just a commission. There's a lot of commissions that we're up to, and we do. We play bingo every third Thursday night, and we think that's a commission. It might be. Ain't nothing wrong with that, I don't think. But some of you are religious on watching football and basketball, but you're neglecting a commission, and that is to be a soul winner. And that is to tell people, verbalize it, spiritualize it, pray about it, whatever, over how you got to do it, put a cloth on their bed and have it prayed over. We have a commission. We are under orders. We are here. Listen, there is commission, there is omission, and then there's the sin of there's the sin of commission, where you do something you shouldn't have done. There's the sin of omission. You know what the sin of omission is? That's where you fail to do something you should have done. In fact, one person said the sin of omission is this. That's the sins you wanted to do but didn't get around to doing it. Amen. That's not quite right. But Donald Duncan said years ago, there's the sin of commission and the sin of omission, and then there's the sin of no mission. And a lot of churches have no mission. You know, we're on a mission here at Westmoreland Church. This is the gospel ship. And we're flying under Captain Jesus and First Officer Dr. Jerry R. Nelson. Can I get a witness out there? And I'm here to tell you, we've got a mission. And if we're going to spring forward, we've got to embrace the Great Commission. Somebody say amen. The Bible says, go into all the world. All the world. Where do you live? Where do you work? Who are your neighbors? That's your world. Who is your family? Who do you see it at Christmas? So I learned that they're going to ask me to say the blessing at Thanksgiving. They usually ask me to say the blessing at Christmas. And there's my cousins. There's my family. And a lot of them, they don't go to church. They have no connection to God. And so I learned to do this several years ago, so that when I say the blessing over the food, I say the gospel. Dear Father, we thank you for this food. But most importantly, we thank you that we were born in sin. All of us have sinned around this table here. And without your grace and mercy, we're in danger of eternity without you. But oh God, we're thankful for you that you sent your precious Son who died on Calvary. And if we will receive and repent of our sins and receive that gift, oh, we'll be gathered forever like this we're doing today. Only it'll be forever and forever in eternity. May each one of us come to know Jesus as Savior and turn from their life into the life you have. And God bless the food and the biscuits. And everybody said amen. I just slipped in the gospel. I'm going to slip it in. I'm going to pray it in. I'm going to talk it in. I'm going to weave it in. People have never dying souls. And they will die, and this is one of our doctrines. We believe in eternal punishment. We believe that when a person dies and they don't know the Lord, it is horror and torment and pain and weeping and gnashing of teeth, not for a few days, but for all eternity. And we cross those paths every day, and God help us to spring forward. And sometimes got to bite. In order for me to be a witness, sometimes I got to bite my tongue when I want to get my way. Come on, that's another sermon for another day. Don't you love the Lord tonight? I got a question for you. Look at Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. If you're there, say amen. Now, this is Easter. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And what does that scripture say? And certain others with them. Do you see that up there? From the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And certain others with them. Verse 2. And guess what? They found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in, and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. In our text, we find that several of the women of Jesus' followers wanted to come and anoint his body. But it says that others came with them. Say that with me. Others came with them. Now, at this point, they were unaware of the resurrection. They thought he was still dead. But the fact is that they brought others to the empty tomb. Say that with me. They brought others to the empty tomb. And when they got there, what a surprise. The angel said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" And they came back and they told the apostles and John, and John and Peter came. And the point I'm trying to make is what a difference it made when somebody brought somebody to the empty tomb. Now, I told you when they came and they brought others, at that point, they weren't aware that he was alive. But not so with you and I. We know that the tomb is empty. We know that he is risen. We know that Muhammad is not the way, and Buddha is not the way, and Oprah Winfrey is not the way, and atheism is not the way. You know that tomb is empty. Why don't you bring somebody to that empty tomb? Why don't you come on Easter Sunday at 9 o'clock or 11 o'clock? Why don't you bring your friends? Did you know it's the easiest day of the year to get people at church? Do you want to spring forward? Do you want to cry out unto the Lord? Do you want to claim what's yours? Do you want to obey the Great Commission? I believe if you do those three things, brother, you're going to spring forward like you've never springed forward before. You're going to have your own revival. We don't have to wait for missionaries or evangelists. Praise God, we can come to church and don't have to wait for the preacher to stir us up. We'll be sprung forward anyway. We'll be set on go. We'll be filled and flowing, springing forward to all that God has for us. How many of you choose to spring forward? Give him a hand of praise. I choose to spring forward. Well, glory.
Yes.
I'm about half excited tonight.
Yes. Amen.
I hear you, brother. I'm going to close with this story that I read in D.L. Moody, who was a great evangelist of the mid-1800s. D.L. Moody. And I know some of them are going to be coming in, but I want y'all to really focus on this story, because if you don't focus, you might miss the point here. Now, this is a different day. I'm going to warn you, when I read this story, and it's just a few paragraphs, but this is a different day. What he does in this story, you probably shouldn't do, but in one regard, and you'll follow what I'm saying, because it was a different day. People were we didn't have the sin that we have today. Let me just read the story. Y'all ready for it? On one occasion in Chicago, Mr. Moody saw a little girl standing on the street with a pail in her hand. He went up to her and invited her to Sunday school, telling her what a pleasant place it was. She promised to go the following Sunday, but she did not show up. Mr. Moody watched for her for weeks, and then one day he saw her on the street again at some distance from him. I'm going to just take a pause while they take their seat there. Is that all right? In fact, this is so good. Can I reread that? All right. All right, give me a salute, Rangers. Come on, come on. Give me a salute. That's right. Give me a salute. Very good. Is that a delayed reaction? All right. All right, here it is. Pastor, if you'll be ready to come, and then I'll play. On one occasion in Chicago, Mr. Moody saw a little girl standing on the street with a pail in her hand. He went up to her, invited her to Sunday school, telling her what a pleasant place it was. She promised to go the following Sunday, but she did not go. So Mr. Moody watched for her for weeks, and then one day he saw her on the street at some distance from him. So he started towards her, but she saw him and started to run away. And Mr. Moody followed her. And down she went one street, Mr. Moody after her. But she went on another street, Mr. Moody after her. Through an alley, Mr. Moody still following, out on another. And by the way, men, don't ever follow a girl like that, okay, in 2019, okay? This was in 1850. There's a lot of different times back then, okay? But I want you to see what's going to happen. Y'all with me? Say amen. And so he's still following her out on another street, Mr. Moody after her. And then she dashed into a saloon, and Mr. Moody chased after her. She ran out the back door and up a flight of stairs. Mr. Moody still following. She dashed into a room, Mr. Moody following, and then she threw herself under the bed. Mr. Moody came in the room, saw her under the bed, reached under there and pulled her out by the foot. And guess what? Led her to the Lord. Talked to her about salvation. He found out that her mother was a widow who was once seen better circumstances, but had gone down until now she was living in the saloon. She had several children, sisters. So Mr. Moody wound up leading the mother and all of the family to the Lord. Several of the children were prominent members of Moody Church until they moved away and afterwards became prominent members in other churches. This particular child who he pulled from under the bed, who was trying to get away from him, this man said, "When I was the pastor of Moody Church, the wife of one of the most prominent officers in the church, only 2 or 3 years ago, as I came out of the ticket office in Memphis, Tennessee, a fine-looking young man followed me. He said, 'Are you Dr. Torrey?' I said, 'Yes.' He said, 'I'm so-and-so.' He said, 'I am the son of that woman that Mr. Moody pulled out from under the bed.' He was then a traveling man and a deacon in the church. When Mr. Moody pulled that little child out from under the bed by the foot, he was literally pulling a whole family into the kingdom of God. An eternity alone will reveal how many succeeding generations he was pulling to the kingdom of God. Who are you pulling to church? Now again, men, do not chase young ladies like that and pull them out from under the bed. But the point is this, God has placed us where we are, and we've got to choose. I said, I choose, say with me, I choose to pull people to God. Don't you let your kids stay home from church and watch TV while you're at church. Come on now, you need to pull them on to church. Can I get a witness out there? I choose to cry out to God. Say amen. I choose to claim what is mine. Say amen. And I choose the Great Commission. Would you give him a hand of praise tonight? I choose. Hallelujah. I choose. Bring somebody to church on Easter. God
Glory
bless you.
Glory to God. You know, I was listening to those points there, and I thought about that. I choose to spring forward. First of all, I choose to cry out to God. That's when you get your deliverance, when you begin to cry out to God. Then I choose to claim those promises. And once you start laying hold of those promises he was talking about, then it starts showing up in your life. And once it starts showing up in your life, then you will choose the Great Commission. You will start bringing people, because it's such a great salvation, such a wonderful thing that God has done for us. What a powerful word tonight. I choose to spring forward. I've got a sermon somewhere, Forward Ever Forward. Yes. It was a book written there.
That's right.
The reason I took that title and just put it into a sermon. But let us stand and sing unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's take these moments. Some of you have been out there working. And years ago, the Lord spoke to me and said, give the people opportunity that are working. They worked all day. Give them opportunity to come into the corporate anointing and to get that refreshing from my spirit.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself, I give myself to you. My life is not my own. I give myself to you. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give